Its current state on 90.5 WKAR. Last week, three young wild geese found in Macomb County in southeast Michigan tested positive for avian flu. Their case marks the first discovery of the disease this year in Michigan. Avian flu has decimated poultry populations in Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. The virus has killed an estimated 47 million birds thus far. Now, officials are trying to prevent this strain from reaching domestic birds in Michigan. My guest today is Dr. Thomas Mullaney. He's the interim director for the Diagnostic Center for Population and Animal Health, a branch of the Michigan State University College of Veterinary Medicine, and his lab tested the geese found to have a strain of avian flu. Welcome back to the program, Dr. Mullaney.
Good morning, Mark.
Good to see you. Tell us about avian flu and what makes it unique. How does it differ from other forms of influenza?
Well, this particular form of influenza, to understand it, you really have to go back to January of 2014. And during that time, a novel influenza virus was circulating in Korea, and it was designated strain H5N8. By late 2014, in November and December of 2014, that strain appeared in Germany, the Netherlands, the United Kingdom, and Italy. And then in December 2014, a strain of highly pathogenic avian influenza appeared in British Columbia, a province in Canada, on the western coast of Canada. And very quickly thereafter, it spread to Washington State, to pintail ducks.
This was the first time it had spread that far.
This particular strain. What happened then is the strain that spread to British Columbia and to the ducks in Washington State was a commingling of the Eurasian strains that I described in Korea and Europe with some indigenous North American viruses that are normally present in many species of waterfowl. And so we end up with a new, highly pathogenic strain. It's called H5N2. And the virus, which was identified in the geese in Sterling Heights last week, is essentially 99% similar to that particular virus, which first appeared on the West Coast in December of 2014.
Can it jump to more species? Can it jump from one species to the other?
Well, at this point in time, it's strictly in birds, in the avian species. So, for example, it has not jumped to people. At this point in time, there's no evidence that this particular strain of highly pathogenic avian influenza can be contacted by people. No people have gotten sick in all of the states and in all of the outbreaks that have occurred throughout the United States.
Our guest today, Dr. Thomas Mullaney, Interim Director of the Diagnostic Center for Population and Animal Health, part of the College of Veterinary Medicine here at Michigan State. We're talking about the recent discovery of avian flu here in southeast Michigan. At this point, the virus has only been found in wild birds, but in the event the disease should spread to commercial poultry, there's a strict protocol in place, especially for egg producers. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. First of all, just to back up a little bit, the finding in Macomb County in Sterling Heights is somewhat lucky in the sense that it's well away from where our commercial poultry operations are in Michigan. In fact, I believe the state veterinarian said that the nearest operation was 100 miles away. So that's good news. Once you have an outbreak, either in wild birds or in domestic poultry, whether it doesn't matter whether it's turkeys or chickens, radius of approximately 10 miles around the outbreak is essentially quarantined in terms of movement of poultry, of birds. And so if you have a large commercial operation, for example, an egg producer in that area, they are then restricted from the market until they can prove with negative testing, with repeated negative testing, that they do not have avian influenza. And so very quickly, once an outbreak occurs at or adjacent to a commercial operation, a tremendous amount of testing needs to be done in order that product can continue to move to market. And essentially, they need to have two negative tests within 48 hours of moving eggs to market. So you can see, because eggs cannot be accumulating for a long period of time on these large farms, testing needs to be continuous. And so we've been preparing for this for several weeks. We've had several people in the laboratory heavily involved in this preparation. We've worked very closely with the Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development, the State Veterinarian's Office, the Michigan Allied Poultry Producers Association, in terms of getting all of the pieces in place prior to a possible outbreak. Now, the good thing is that no outbreaks have occurred in domestic poultry at this point in time here in Michigan.
The state has banned poultry and waterfowl shows, fairs, 4-H events, and the like. But what about people who raise backyard chickens? What should they be following precautions?
Yes, backyard flocks will also be affected by this if they are within a 10-mile radius of an outbreak. So if there are backyard flocks within 10 miles of the index case in Macomb County, then they need to be additionally vigilant to make sure that as soon as they notice any mortality, that they get appropriate testing done, that they have very little commingling of birds from one flock with another, and that they keep wild waterfowl away from their premises as much as possible, because it's likely, it is wild waterfowl that are spreading this disease to most farms where we're seeing it.
The outbreak here in the wider Midwest, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and elsewhere, occurred during spring migration. I'm led to believe that hot temperatures this summer might be enough to kill the avian flu virus. Is that accurate?
Somewhat accurate. I think what will reduce the spread of the virus during the summer months as well is decreased migration, because now the waterfowl are producing young, are breeding and producing young, and are stationary in those locations. They're not migrating during the summer months, or they're not migrating extensively during the summer months. And so it's during periods of peak migration that most outbreaks are likely to occur. And so it started in December on the west coast of Canada and the United States, along what's called the Pacific Flyway of Migration. Okay, it then moved to the central flyway of migration in February and March, and those were times of fairly peak migration. Migratory patterns are slowed now. That will help. Mm-hmm. Summer temperatures help to some degree.
What about fall migration?
Fall migration, we're very likely to have an increased incidence of the disease or a recrudescence of the disease again in the fall as increased migration starts in the fall.
Dr. Thomas Mullaney is our guest, interim director of the Diagnostic Center for Population and Animal Health here at MSU. We're talking about the avian flu. Let's move on to another virus detected in animals lately, canine flu. There was an outbreak found in the Chicago area earlier this spring. How was that first spotted?
That was first spotted when presumably dogs in shelter or kennel situations where there were several dogs commingled began to experience symptoms, which included fevers, coughing, lethargy, and testing was done. Those symptoms can be produced by several viruses and bacteria that affect dogs. And one of those is canine influenza. But canine influenza is overall quite rare in the United States. We did have an outbreak of it in 2004, but it was a virus that actually transferred from horses to dogs along the east coast of the United States and in Florida. This particular strain that occurred in Chicago is quite different. It's a new strain. It actually was circulating in Korea and then suddenly jumped to Chicago.
This is H3N8?
This is H3N8. And H3N8 was the one which was present in the United States in 2004. The one which is currently in Chicago and in approximately 10 other states is H3N2.
What should dog owners be watching out for regarding canine flu? What should they do?
Well, they should be, first of all, watching for the symptoms that I just talked about, which include fever, coughing, maybe a runny nose, etc., flu symptoms, which are very comparable to the symptoms which you would expect in people with flu. And then to reduce the incidence or to reduce the likelihood that your dog might get the flu, important things would be to prevent commingling of large numbers of dogs, as occur in shelter situations, as occur in doggy daycare situations, as occur when you have meeting and commingling of dogs where you're walking them in the park. So keeping dogs fairly isolated from other dogs is probably a very prudent thing to do.
We've got just 30 seconds, and yes. I wanted to run this chronic wasting disease thing by you here. What do you make of this? Is this something that we will get through?
What do you think? This finding chronic wasting disease in the mid-Michigan area was a big surprise, because previous to that, we had only seen one case in a privately owned deer operation in Kent County. So there's still a huge question mark as to where it came from. What I'm hoping is that it will not become established in the mid-Michigan area, that we have this isolated case, and with extensive testing of roadkill and with culling of deer in the area, that we will able to will be able to determine in the months ahead whether or not it has become established in this area. If it has become established, then it's going to be a problem here for a long, long time.
Dr. Thomas Mullaney is Interim Director of the Diagnostic Center for Population and Animal Health at Michigan State. Many thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.